Let whoever is simple turn and hear. Let ever who is simple come. Why? For what reason? To come and eat of my food and drink of the wine I have mixed. This is a heartfelt invitation from our loving God who longs to hear us saved, and an assurance that it does not require a degree in theology to understand what he's teaching and what he's offering. Though it is a mystery how bread, ordinary, common, unleavened bread and simple wine, can turn into nothing but and only the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. How is a mystery. That it is not. Let ever who is simple come to me. To the one who lacks understanding, come and eat of my food. For a lot of Catholics, we are confused about this idea and teaching of Jesus, or we don't believe it. Maybe we say so in word, but when we miss Mass on Sunday or last August 15th on Holy Days of Obligation, it speaks to the understanding that I don't really believe this. I don't think I need it to live forever. And so we come or we don't. And there's a lot of confusion around what we actually believe. Not maybe in what we say, but certainly in what we do. If we really believed that without the body and blood of Jesus, we would not have eternal life, then why would we miss? Why else will we not come? Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and whoever does not eat my flesh and drink my blood will have no life within you. In today's gospel, Jesus could not be more clear, but the Jews quarreled among themselves. They were horrified at this idea of eating his flesh. In the Jewish tradition, blood was life and sacred, and it was forbidden to eat or drink the blood of any animal. But if you're a bit of a foodie, or you love your steaks medium rare or rare, then you would disagree. I remember I was with my family in Puerto Rico, and those of you from Hispanic countries or the Caribbean know that they only eat their meat well burnt. Not well done, well burnt. They just don't trust the quality of the meat. But here in the States, we can get good quality steak, and if you grill it just right, it's real juicy and red and bloody in the middle and crispy on the outside and all the flavors in it. So I wanted to treat my aunts and uncles to a really nice steak dinner. Went to the Sam's Club down the street, got good quality big fat steaks and grilled them just right. Crispy on the outside, nice and medium, medium rare in the middle. All that juice, all that life force, all that flavor oozing out when you cut it with the knife. I served it to each of my aunts and uncles. They cut into it and they were horrified. What is this? I'm like, it's a steak. It's USDA grade quality meat. This is good stuff. It has blood. I'm like, well, yeah, it's muscle. It has blood. And that's the flavor. Oh, no, 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 no. We're not eating this. No one would touch it. Actually, they wouldn't say anything. They didn't want to be offensive. But I looked around and they ate the rice and beans, but the steak was sitting there untouched. And I asked them, what's the matter? Well, we can't eat this blood. That's not safe. We need you to cook it more. I'm like, cook it more? You mean burn it? Like, yeah, we can't see any blood. You mean well done? Yeah. Oh, spent all this money for nothing. They were horrified. They were confused, almost offended that I would serve them bloody meat as if I was trying to kill them off. And so I did what they asked, and I burnt it to a crisp. And then I stuck it on a plate, and I handed it out, and I said, here's your chancleta. Here's your chancleta, a flip-flop in Spanish. It's like a rubbery flip-flop when you burn a steak like that, but that's how they wanted it. So I threw it on their plate and I said, here's your flip-flop, here's your flip-flop. And they ate it. Ugh, gross. And I never did it again. The Jews quarreled among themselves. They couldn't understand how we could do this. But Jesus doubles down. He tells them essentially, what you understand is correct. What I'm offering you is my life, my blood, which is forbidden in the Old Testament. But my life, my blood, brings life to the world. It's forbidden because in blood there is life. We know that scientifically. You lose enough of it, you're going to die. Blood keeps us alive, and healthy blood at that. And so in the quarreling, Christ doubles down. and calls them to himself once again. You ate the lamb at the Passover in Egypt that nourished and fed you to get through the desert to the promised land and away from slavery. I am the Lamb of God who not only takes you away from physical slavery, but actual slavery to sin. And if you do not consume me, you will not survive the desert until you get to the promised land that is heaven. If you do not eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will have no life within you. This body of Christ is essential to our salvation. As we journey through this valley of tears, this desert experience of life here on earth with its sin and injustice and brokenness, our own and that of others, institutional and otherwise. And we will never make it to the promised land that is heaven if we starve ourselves from this essential food. It is his flesh and blood for the life of the world. For many of Hispanic Catholics, they don't go to communion, though they go to Mass. They're in situations that they know contradict the Ten Commandments in a profound way. They're not malicious or bad. They just got together with somebody and for whatever reason never bothered to marry them in the church. Or there was somebody after they married the first time in the church, and now there was someone else later. And they know not to go to communion in serious sin. And that's a right and good thing. But oftentimes they stay there. And I have to urge them, but come to me and let's work out your situation. Let's figure out what the issue is so we can get you back to communion. It's not enough to sit and watch Jesus go by. You have to eat his flesh and drink his blood. But you're right. You cannot eat and drink in a state of serious sin. So I'm not here to judge or condemn you. I'm here to help you resolve whatever situation you're in to make this happen for your salvation. That's my job, to help you achieve that, to be a bridge, not a barrier, to help facilitate this intimate, living relationship with Jesus to fulfill what he commands for you, to help you get there, not to get in the way. In the American tradition, and I would, without trying to be offensive to anyone, argue we can tend to be very entitled. We have that opposite mentality. I'm American. I have a right to everything. So it doesn't matter that I'm in a situation that I know breaks the Ten Commandments continuously or that I have mortal sin. I'm going to receive them anyway. And this is, as I spoke about last week, what hurts our relationship with Jesus rather than helps it. Paul explains this to the Corinthians in his first letter, chapter 10. They were getting drunk. They were committing acts of racism and gluttony and then going to communion. And Paul writes them a stern letter warning them that they eat and drink condemnation upon themselves when they receive the Eucharist in that way. But for many Americans, we think, what's the point of going to Mass if I don't go to communion? Is it not the source and summit of the faith? Yes, it is. The Mass is. But the church only requires us to go to communion once a year. We don't have to go every Sunday. And for many centuries in the lives of many saints, sometimes they went years or many months without communion, though they prayed daily and went to Mass daily oftentimes. Receiving communion is an essential every day or every week. It is essential ultimately for our salvation. So people will argue, but what's the point of going to Mass if I can't receive communion? And I always explain, well, it's the same thing with your loving, beautiful, spoiled you rotten, tender, sweet grandma who calls you over now as an adult or a young adult and says, honey, I made your favorite dinner. Come on over and eat. Let's visit. And you tell her, oh, grandma, I just had McDonald's. I'm full. I'm not hungry at all. Oh, but just come and eat or come and visit me. No, I'm not hungry. What's the point of seeing you? And you hang up. No. Even if you're full, the point is to go and spend time with grandma, to talk with her, to listen, to share. You know her days are numbered. She's not going to be around forever. Soak it in, take it in, spend time with her. You won't have her forever. Her days are numbered, and your memories with her are limited. So even if you're full, and you know she's going to make you eat anyway, you go just to talk. That's the same point of when we come to Mass. Even if I should not go to communion or I cannot under my circumstances because I choose not to change them, you still come and talk. You still have to have that relationship with the Lord to hear and listen and to respond. Think about right now Hamas and the state of Israel. You could not be more at odds with one another. And yet, because they're talking, albeit through intermediaries, there's a hope that the destruction and horrors being committed in Gaza would end, and the poor hostages held for 10 months can go home to their family. Because they're talking, even though they're trying to kill each other actively and being very effective at doing so, they're talking, even though they're at odds. And that talking, that communication, opens the door of hope, of furthering the relationship. And so even if we can't or should not go to communion, we should still talk. All the more reason to pray every day. All the more reason to come to Mass, that the Lord would touch our hearts and turn us back to Him and give us the courage and the strength to amend our lives in conformity with His commandments, to return to confession and to communion once again, and joyfully experience that intimate union. Yeah, it's grandma's cooking, maybe for you, as it was for me, was delicious. But even more heart-filling and faith-filling was her hugs and her kisses and our memories together. Now, the two combined is even better. But communication is at the heart of it all. It leads us to a deeper communion, to reconciliation, to peace, to love. And that's the call Christ makes to each one of us today. Yes, without communion, we cannot be saved. But without communication, there's never going to be a hope for communion. Too often we don't communicate with God, but we go to communion. What good is it to sit in front of the face of a loved one and never open your mouth to say a word, but only to put food in it? You know what those meals are like, whether it's a passive-aggressive experience of anger or lack of forgiveness. You're sitting across from that person and no one says a word, but you put food in your mouth and then you leave. It almost hurts. Yeah, you're no longer hungry, but emotionally and personally, you're still starving. Jesus wants to feed us in every way. If only we will come. If only we would hear His invitation from the Old Testament fulfilled today. Let whoever is simple turn and hear. To the one who lacks understanding, come and eat of my food and drink of my wine. Because the food He offers is not ordinary bread or wine. It is His very flesh for the life of the world. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you do not have life within you.